Hey, it's our last sermon in our Framing 2021 series. Next week, we will be getting back to 1 Corinthians. So I'd encourage you, if you've fallen out of reading that book, pick it up in chapter 11. We're going to start in chapter 11, which begins some controversial topics. Next week, we're going to talk about head coverings. Then eventually after that, we move on to spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues and things of that nature. So that's going to be exciting. So join us for that and do a little prep work by getting back into 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, because we will be revisiting that book beginning next week. Our sermon series that's wrapping up today is how to frame 2021. We said we're going to frame it really simply by four words: no, others, pilgrimage, and stand. We got through three of those four already. One of our goals in 2021 is to know God more, because to know him more is to love him more, because he's good. Oh, he's so good. And Jesus Christ has restored our relationship with him, and we want to maximize that relationship. We also want to radically and sacrificially love others at a cost to ourselves. We want to love people. We want to serve them. We want to do what's best for them, even if it costs us something. And we use the Good Samaritan as an example. Last week, we said, well, we got a couple choices as we go through this world. Either we're going to be settlers, like we're going to live for this, or we're passing through this on the way to something greater. And the Bible tells us we're passing through this world on the way to something greater. And actually, that was 2 weeks ago, because last week we talked about first stop after this life is the judgment seat of Christ, where believers will be rewarded for their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. So if you've missed any of those messages, I'd encourage you to go back and listen / watch them. Today we're going to talk about our final word, stand. I don't mean the REM song. Stand. Let's pray together and see what happens. Father, thank you just for your goodness to us, what we've sang and ate and drank, and you're just so good. I just pray that you'd help us this morning. Just stand. In both ways we're going to talk about, just stand. Because we love you and we want to be assured of your love for us. So encourage us and challenge us and give us a charge as we leave here today by your Spirit for our good and for your glory. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today's message is going to be a two-headed monster. Two-headed monster. We're going to look at the word stand in two ways. First way is this. We want to recognize the grace in which we stand. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5. What's stunning is we stand in this grace that God just pours out upon us. We stand in it. It's like, it's incredible. We're just, everything is just it raining down grace upon us. The second way we're going to look at it, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, is we want to stand firm for the Lord. So one of them is going to be a recognition of the grace in which we stand. Thank you, Jesus. My life is just loaded with grace because of what you've done. Help me to live like I actually believe that. And the second part of the message is going to be a call to action to stand firm for the Lord. This first part, recognize the grace in which we stand, is the fuel in our tanks. It's the fuel in our tanks as we seek to stand firm for the Lord. So have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 5 as we look at this first part, the grace in which we stand. Dennis read Romans chapter 5, and there's a lot there. So check this out. I mean, If I use some kooky color and stuff happening here, you've got some major, major, major things happen. I'm going to use a dark. You're not even supposed to. Here's, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Big time stuff. Because Jesus died for your sins, you've been declared innocent. Because Jesus has died for your sins, you've been declared righteous in God's sight. Because Jesus died for your sins, you are now in a beautiful relationship with God. But we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. If you skip down, we see some massive things. Verses 6 and 7 and 8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, God Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Big truth. Big truth. But we're not going there. We're actually in between these two big truths. Verse 1 and verses 6 through 8 is this little bit that people very rarely pay attention to. Very rarely pay attention to. Verses 2 through 5. We're just going to look at that and make some observations. Make some observations. So look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, through him. Who's the him? Say it out loud. Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. So through him, we have also obtained access by faith. So because you believe in Jesus Christ, God has given you a key to a vault. You now have access to this vault because of what Jesus Christ has done. Isn't that great news? And what's in that vault? What's in that vault? The riches that we get to experience because of what Jesus Christ has done. We, this grace in which we stand. This grace in which we stand. Here's an illustration I have. I think in pictures. I've told you guys that enough times where you're probably sick of hearing about it. But this is the illustration I have. It's like an umbrella that's always covering us. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have access to this grace that is always covering us. Always. Now, some people would say, well, this is also talking about like we're standing before God forgiven. Eternally? Amen. It's that. But I would argue it's also the fact that now you and I, every day, we stand covered by this grace because of what Jesus Christ has done. A blessing that we don't deserve. A blessing that we could never earn. Christ had to earn for us. We are covered by it. Has anybody ever, if anybody's in the insurance business or if anybody's ever bought large sums of insurance, you might be aware of an umbrella policy. An umbrella policy is, look at, if you get in an accident and your car insurance doesn't cover something, or if something happens in your house and your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover it, your umbrella policy will cover everything pertaining to your life. And that's the grace that we have access to because of Jesus Christ. Believer, be encouraged by the fact that your life is awash in grace every day. Every day. Blessings that you don't deserve and blessings that you couldn't earn are now yours because of Jesus Christ. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When John is introducing this Messiah, he says, from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Wave after wave after wave of grace, of God's goodness, of his blessing. It's always pouring over us because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ has given us a key to open the grace vault. And because Christ has opened the key, we are assured that our lives are awash in grace, and we stand in this grace. We need to rest in that, brothers and sisters. Because I'll tell you what, I have trouble believing that. The circumstances that come upon me sometime try to talk me out of the fact that this is true. When Brian's up here asking us to confess our sin, do you know what the thing that I prayed for the entire time for me is? Lord, help me with my unbelief. I'm going to sit here and say this kind of stuff, and then half the time I don't believe it. I'm still prone to operate as though Christ hasn't purchased grace after grace, blessing after blessing. I am covered. It's like an umbrella policy. I stand fully covered by the umbrella policy of grace Christ has purchased for me. This is the fuel in our tank. Back to Romans chapter 5. Back to Romans chapter 5. And then he gives us two rejoicings based on this grace. Here's number one in verse 2. Here's number 2 in verse 3. I practiced that so I didn't mess that up. And we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yeah, students of the New Testament know that the glory of God is often an idiom for God's presence. God's presence. It's very, very, very intimidating to spell in front of you people, just so you know that. I always mess up presence. God's presence. We live this life under the umbrella of grace. Here I stand. I'm awash in God. I'm covered fully in God's grace, and I'm rejoicing in the fact that someday, I will see God face to face. I will be in his presence forever. So rejoicing number one, very simply, is this. We receive grace after grace. And brothers and sisters, I want you just to even make it a point to ponder every day just how gracious God is to you. He gives us things that are so far beyond what we could ever deserve. We receive grace after grace as we travel to our ultimate destination, the perfect presence of God. That's our hope. Is my hope that this world's going to get fixed? No. Is my hope that my health is going to get better? Oh, good grief, no. Is my ultimate hope in the fact that if we just get the right government in this place, everything's going to go smoothly? No. Our hope is that someday we will stand in God's perfect presence forever because of what Jesus has done. That's our hope. That's the hope we live for. And because of that, we rejoice in the fact that because of what Christ has done, you will be in God's presence forever someday. Can you imagine that? Peace. No suffering, no body breakdown, no unhappiness, no sadness, no anger, no lust, no competing idols, just you and God in pure, perfect presence and perfect relationship forever. And Paul says to the Romans, look at, man, because Christ opened the vault, rejoice in this. No matter how hard it is right now, this movie ends really well. You're going to be in God's presence forever. Let that be the fuel in your tank as you put one foot before the next, walking through this crazy fallen world. You're going to be with God someday. Okay, we could digest that. We could digest that. So this right here, This right here, the hope and the glory of God, this is what we would call digestible. Digestible. I could digest that. Okay, yeah, I get it. This is good in so many ways. Our family, church family, good food, a great round of golf. This is good in some ways, but man, what's coming so much better. I get that. I can rejoice in that. That's easy. Yeah. Better's coming. Woohoo! Yeah. That's easy. Boy, that second rejoicing, though. That second rejoicing. Ugh. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings. So I have trouble, actually. So this is digestible. This upsets my tummy. This isn't really digestible. How in the world do you put this word and this word together? I don't have a category for that. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Oh, okay. How do I put those two words together? I got a clue. Favorite TV show of all time? What? Columbo. Oh, you're right there. I love when Columbo finds a clue. Clue. We always look for clues and words that are repeated in Scripture when I'm trying to figure out Scripture. Because I have a hard time, I don't know about you, I got a hard time figuring this thing out. That knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Oh. Huh. So somehow me recognizing that these things are actually producing something will make me joyful in them. Here's what we would say in part. As we stand in grace, because of the grace in which we stand, every moment of our lives is purposeful. Every moment is purposeful. Even the suffering, the rejoicing, the times where God has blessed you and your times are happy and you're sitting by the pool with an iced tea in one hand and a beach ball under your other arm, that's purposeful too. God uses all these things. God has got this great story written for the lives of believers. And everything that happens is part of a purpose. We see that in the text, right? Suffering produces. It's purposeful. So here's what we would say for the grace. Here's the grace in which we stand. Grace upon grace every moment. Because of Jesus Christ, you are under the umbrella of grace every moment of your life. God is blessing you, believer, every moment of your life. Everything you come across daily is an expression of God's grace to you, one way or the other. Because of Christ's work for us on the cross, we are on our way to God's perfect presence. You ever watch a news story about kids being thrown into cages who have disabilities in Eastern European countries, and you can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. I know someday Christ is going to come back and judge that all perfectly, and there will be no more of that someday. I long for that. Someday, everything that is bad right now will be gone. And it'll be replaced by the absolute perfection of being in God's presence forever. That's what we look for. That's what helps us keep getting up in the morning and walking through difficult situations. This is a huge gospel motivator to share the gospel with people. Because one of the things that's going on in our culture is we have a culture that is operating without hope. We've got kids that are being taught that they evolved from monkeys. And where did that all begin? Well, we don't really know. We think that there was like this little bacterial puddle billions of years ago. And so it really doesn't matter. There really is no purpose. You're a product of chance. So life really doesn't matter. So if you feel like ending it, end it, because it's purposeless anyway. And then you just go back to dirt and continue the evolution process. There's a lot of hope in that message, ain't there? No, but we live as people who have hope. There's a God who created me. There's a God who loved me enough to send Christ to die for me. And because I'm God's child, because I've trusted and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am on my way back to him. Is there good stuff in this world? Absolutely. We talked about that Wednesday. There's so much good in God's creation. But there's a lot of bad in the fallenness here. And we're on our way to something that is eternal and glorious and perfect. And that's God's presence. That's hope. We got real hope. And also the other thing we can take heart in and we can offer people is that every moment is intensely purposeful. Intensely purposeful. So when we look back at the text and we see these, look at what is the purpose of suffering? Well, it produces endurance. Okay, wise guy. Well, what's the purpose of endurance? Well, endurance produces character. And then that character produces hope. It's all purposeful. Everything that's happening to you has a purpose, an intimate purpose that God designed for your life before he created dirt. Now, I got a couple categories that I have to deal with. And I'm thinking through that, right? So, good times, bad times. You know, I've had my share. So here's good times, here's bad times. Oh, I'm with you 100%. A-okay, Pastor, he's got a plan for me. I'm singing praise songs. Woo-hoo! But then when it's bad times, yeah, maybe not. That can't possibly be part of the plan for me. This Romans 5 stuff, this is written during a birthday party or something like that. It can't be during the bad times. Well, no. We would argue in God's economy, what we perceive as good times and what we perceive as bad times are both part of God's purpose. God's purpose. We have to believe that. Now, if we believe that, how do we believe that? Well, so you got circumstance before you, whatever it is, good or bad, circumstance before you. We realize that there is a purpose in that. If you notice, I'm staying away from drawing. I'm trying just to write. There's a purpose in that. And so if there's a purpose maker, if there's a purpose, there's got to be a purpose giver. Who's the purpose giver? Yeah, I was going to say, if you blow that one, we got big problems. God makes the purpose. And then how is that a comfort? Only if God is, okay, and control's a good one. I like that a lot. What else? So it'd be sovereign and what? What's the second one? G-O-O, give me the last letter at least. Good. Believing this takes a lot of faith and a lot of belief that God is good. A lot of belief that God is who he says he is and he's going to do what he says he will do. It takes a lot of faith in the bad times to believe that there's a purpose. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that the purpose giver, especially in those bad times, is good all the time. Because as it's coming down into my life day to day, it don't feel good. I just have to trust that it's from the hand of the one who is good. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's the type of faith we have to have, brothers and sisters. I have no idea where I'm at now, so bear with me. These things, grace upon grace every moment, on our way to God's perfect presence, every moment is intensely purposeful. And that purpose is designed by a God who's good and who loves us perfectly and has what's best for us in his mind always. These things are true for us 100%. 90% of the time. And the question is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Let us be a people who stand in this grace, believing what God has said. Believing what God has said. So that's the fuel right there, brothers and sisters. Grace upon grace, just flowing over us. We're enveloped in it. It's an umbrella. Every part of our life, every moment of our life is intensely, intensely purposeful. Intensely purposeful. And at the end of this life, guess what? Glory. That's why Paul says death is what? Gain. Gain. Second part, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So now, what does God want from us in response to this grace in which we stand? He wants us to stand firm. He wants us to stand firm. He has called you into the kingdom for you to represent him to the world. Represent him to the world. And that means, as a bunch of fallen people who, apart from the Spirit, are really chicken, first in line, who love the world, and I don't want to get cheated out of any of it because I'm following Jesus, so that makes me gun-shy, we need to realize that we need to stand firm. Ephesians chapter 6 contains in it the armor of God, and you guys are going to get a homework assignment to study the armor of God. I'm not going to go into it in terrible detail because of time considerations this morning. I always think in pictures. I don't know if I've ever told you that before. Why are you laughing? My poor wife. Pray for my wife. When I think of a picture, for some reason I kept going here. This is a light tower, a lighthouse. This is the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. I know when I was, I've always been a weather watcher, and it always seemed like when a Atlantic hurricane was coming, you know, towards the States, it always was like Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, was always getting hammered. The weather folks were always in Cape Hatteras. So we can only imagine. So this has been moved once or twice because of beach erosion. It's been reconstructed, but basically for 220 years, the Cape Hatteras light post has seen storm after storm come, and it hasn't moved because of the storm. It's stood firm in the storm. Not only did it stand firm in the storm, it gave light to those who were caught up in the storm. What a picture of the Christian life, isn't it? Why did I end on the word stand? Why did I end on the word stand in my little five-part sermon series? Well, I was reading through 1 Corinthians because I'm teaching through that, and we're going to rejoin that next week. And I came across this as Paul's winding up. I came across this as Paul's winding up. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And I'm thinking through that. I know, be watchful, be watchful. I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus, right? The Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 says, stay awake, because you don't know when he's coming. You don't know. So I'm getting that. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. Be doing the Lord's work. See everything in light of the fact that the master of the house may return in a blink of an eye. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. I'm not going to sleep spiritually ever. I'm keeping my eyes open because he may come. And then Paul says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. A few verses earlier, he says this. This is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. Don't budge. Christians need to hear that today. Christians need to hear that today. Why do we need to hear that? There's two things at work. Number one, there's several things at work. Number one is, though, our flesh. I'm up against something, and it's called age. Are any of you guys getting older, or is it just me? It's just me? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So I've been called to teach in Christ Church, and that scares the dickens out of me. You have no idea how much that scares me. And I have seen teacher after teacher, but I've also seen Christian after Christian, as they age, they move. They move. And by that, I mean that, now, the world, if we did this, the world would applaud us. They start to tolerate. They tolerate. God says, hey, and then you're like, well, yeah, maybe, but you know, they soften. They lose their footing. They start to soften in how they see the kingdom. And then, of course, we have the world fighting against us too, which is saying, yeah, you know what? Ditch that knuckle dragging stuff and just believe in science already. Get it over with, so we can all move forward as one big happy humanity singing Kumbaya. So there's this wants us to budge, and as we get older, it's almost like we get tired, we get worn down. Paul says, "Do not weary of doing good." That's part of it. We don't want to battle anymore. I just want to retire and play golf and sit on the beach. That's all I want to do. I don't want to battle anymore. That's in all of us, or we just never were battling to begin with, because we're still in love with the world. So Paul says, "Be immovable." Always abounding. Oh, that word always. Oh, that word always. Why did he put it in there? Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Is not in vain. But we have to be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. So this right here, you're not going to get from binge watching a Netflix series. There's things we have to do when God has given us. So we're not going to spend a ton of time here. Ephesians chapter 6. We're jumping right to it. So look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. That's verse 10. And then what he says here is put on. So this is something that we have to do. We have to do. If you don't do it, you're going to get clobbered in the battle. What does clobbering in the battle look like? Best case scenario is you just look like a worldling. You love the world. You look like a settler. Worst case scenario is your lives are full of despair, discouragement, anxiety, all those things to the point where you can't even live. Because you have failed to prepare for you. You've been captured by the enemy. You have not prepared yourself for the battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to. There's our word. Stand against the schemes of the devil. And you need this. You know why? Because, man, this is not America. This is not America against Russia in the Cold War. This is not America against Germany. This is bigger. There's something going on here, brothers and sisters, that we can't see. And we almost have to thank God we can't see it, because if we saw it, we would never come out of our closet. We'd be so afraid. But there's things going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. This is why we train our kids in the faith. That's why your kids are here this morning, hopefully listening. You're going to go home and say, look it, you got to know, because at some point you're leaving the nest. You're leaving the nest, and praise songs are great, but you're leaving the nest. and you're going to be confronted with these things. And until then, the enemy desires your soul. I'm getting off on another thing here. Against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So in order to stand firm, we have to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore. That's our third stand. So to stand times three, right? We always keep track. We need to do something. We need to do something. What do we need to do? We need to fasten on the belt of truth. You aren't going to stand for truth if you don't know what the truth is. As we go into this world right now, the battle is for the truth. Who decides what gender you are? Battle for truth. Who should get married? Battle for truth. Do we get to decide our paths about how we're made right with God? We get to choose our own religion? Battle for truth. Where do we come from? Battle for truth. We need to know the truth. And we got to wear it like a belt. Pretend you're wearing a big, baggy pair of pants, and then you take your belt off and you jump up and down. What'll happen? Not good. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be humiliated. You won't be able to walk or run, do what you're supposed to do, because your pants are down around your ankles. That's how important a belt is. And then we get another thing. Not only do we need to fasten on, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number one, it's Christward. Number one, I'm walking around covering my heart, my innards, and my innards is the fact that I got no righteousness at all. Nothing. I ain't any better than you. The only difference is I've been given Jesus' righteousness. So that's one way. I walk around with the fact that I possess Christ's righteousness in God's sight. That's covering my heart, my emotions. It's wiping out my doubt, all those things when I feel like an absolute moron because I've blown it this day. But I'm also called to walk righteously in line with what God has said. Obey God. Walk holy. Confess and repent of sin. Pursue holiness. If I don't have my belt, I don't have my breastplate, I'm going to get clobbered in the war. Then it says, as having shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So we're ready to go at any moment to walk. How beautiful are the feet are those who share the gospel. We see everything in light of the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter what it is. The gospel affects everything. How families should be ordered, race relations, everything is affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to be ready to walk in the battle and bring the gospel to bear on everything. The gospel is for everything. We've been taught too long that only matters, well, Jesus died for your sins so you don't have to go to hell, and that's the extent of the gospel. No! The gospel affects everything. Everything. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming doubts or flaming darts of the evil one. So if our shield is the flaming shield of faith, what are the flaming darts that the evil one is trying to throw at us? Go. Doubt. I doubt all the time. Does God really love me? Is God really in control of this? Is this really gonna be okay? Is it? Because I'm hurting. And this is eating me up. It's causing stress in my marriage. Can I trust in God? I want to doubt that. The world wants to tell you. Turn on the news. Is it going to be okay? God says it's all going to work out for his glory in the end. Turn on the news and you want to doubt that. Google search the latest medical whatever. You're going to want to doubt that. So what we have to do, and again, when we're talking shield, a lot of times we think shield, we're thinking the guys who used to, you know, do the sword stuff, and the shield was yay big. Now, the shields in these times of battle were literally body long and wide. I mean, you wouldn't be able to see me. That's quite a shield. But you wouldn't be able to see me. Faith protects us from the flaming darts of the devil. Why do you think we say, read your Bibles, study your Bibles, don't waste time with little this, you know, because we want to know God, we want to love God, and we want to know him so well that we will rest by faith in who he is. We will know who he is, and we will rest by faith in who he is. We will believe his promises. Not the flaming arrows of doubt, the world that our flesh wants to believe. No, we're going to be protected by faith. We're going to believe that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do 100% of the time. None of those doubts are getting past. None of those darts are getting past. That faith is protecting me. And then you take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. When you see helmet, what does the helmet protect? The head. Here, what it's referring to in particular is the thought life. The thought life. So this isn't about getting saved over and over again. This is about that you're getting your mind. Your mind is constantly thinking about the fact that you are in Christ. You are in Christ. That's what you're thinking. Oh, this looks really bad. But man, I've been forgiven in Christ, and I've been adopted by God. I'm his child, and he says he's never going to leave me or forsake me, and he says he's for me and with me. This is going to be okay. That's having the helmet of salvation on. My mind is constantly being renewed by who I am because of Christ and the gospel. I got to have that on, or I'm going to get clobbered in the battle. Clobbered. The world constantly wants to tell you you're something else. And we refresh ourselves in saying, this is who we are because of Jesus Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got to have the Word. We've got to know the Word. We've got to interpret all things. Think of a big machete going through a jungle. We've got to have that weapon to clear things out as we go. All the noise, all the static, all the misinformation, all the redefined things, all the things that sound really good but are totally bad. How do we get through that jungle? We're clearing it with the Word of God. God defines everything by his Word. That's how. That's why he gave it to us. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So, we have to stand firm for the Lord as though it's a battle. We have to. If you don't see it as a battle every day, you got to put on the armor of God. You have to. Can you imagine somebody back in the time when there was, you know, battle lines? Can you imagine some guy just wandering out of bed in the morning in his underwear going, yeah, I'm going to go check out and see how the enemy's doing. Boom! Not so much. And he would die in his underwear, which is a terribly humiliating thing. Stand firm, for the Lord is a battle. He has given us what we need. He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us a knowledge of who we are in Christ. We need to put into use what he has given. So your homework this afternoon and after your Baptist nap, mine is scheduled from 1 till 2:30 right now, after your Baptist nap is study the armor. Study it. Pray about it. Ask God to help you to put it on every day. Maybe every day this week, that's your morning passage, and you're prayerfully asking God. It could be in dealing with an attack from the evil one. It could be in dealing with a spouse who wants nothing to do with the faith. We don't know. It's everything in between. It could be with doubt. Some of those flaming arrows of doubt have gotten past the shield, and now you've got worry and anxiety that ultimately is an expression of doubt. Here's our task, and then I'm done. Here's our task as we stand. Our task, number one, is to stand. I substituted the word bask. When I think of bask, I think of like sitting in the sun, basking in the sun. Stand or bask in the grace that is constantly poured out on us because of Jesus Christ. Remind yourself of that. Constantly remind yourself of who you are in Christ and how every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies is being poured out upon you, and every blessing God has is being poured upon you now, grace after grace. God is dealing with you as a beloved child, a beloved child, rejoicing in the fact that every moment is purposeful. What thing is going on in your life right now that you're failing to see the purpose? First thing you've got to do is resolve in your mind that it is purposeful and ask God to show you what is the purpose. And that purpose will always be connected somehow to God. That's how you know you're onto it. That's how you're onto it. Rejoicing in the fact that every moment is purposeful and we are headed for the perfect presence of God. Second task, and then we're finished. Stand firm in this great battle. If there's ever been a time in a culture where Christians need to stand firm, it's now. Stand firm in this great battle for the glory of our King Jesus Christ. Be ready. Be watchful. Have your full armor on, not giving an inch. Well, you know, maybe there's like theistic evolution where we can kind of take, yeah, God is God, but he purposed evolution. No, uh-uh. 6 days God created. That's just one example. But we're not budget. If God said it, it's true. I don't care how much it doesn't make sense to your conception of science. I don't care how offensive it seems to a part of our population. If God said it, it's true. Here I stand. That's what we have to be. Because, boy, I tell you what, barbarians are knocking at the door, kids. And we're going to purpose at this point. Are we going to stand firm or are we not going to? Believing God. Now, here's the good news. We don't do it alone. Believing God fights with us and fights for us. And confident that the victory has already been secured in Jesus. That's how we stand firm. Only good is coming. So our final frame is that we recognize the grace in which we stand, and we use that as fuel to stand firm for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the grace in which we stand, which we are just soaked in. Oh, we're just soaked in. Every moment is just an expression of your goodness because you love us. Father, help us to believe that. Help us to believe that every moment of our life is indeed purposeful. Father, help us to stand. Just help us to stand, Father. There's so many things that are just trying to chip away at the truth of your word and your gospel. And just help us to be ambassadors of Christ who accurately represent him and accurately represent what you said in your word so we could bring you much glory, knowing the second we take our last breath, we will stand before the judgment seat and get rewards, crowns that we could cast back at the feet of our Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, bless us and keep us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.